Happy New Year, everyone. Good to see you all here. I hope you had a blessed Christmas and New Year. And wouldn't it be incredible if 2026 was the year that Jesus Christ returned? It may be today. It may be today. We don't know. On the flip side of that, we don't want to have that escapist mentality, right? Just to get away from this world. We know this world isn't our home, but while we're here, we have a purpose. There's a purpose for our lives. We want to bring as many as we can along with us to that heavenly home. So don't forget about that as well as we consider, as we long for and expect the Lord's return. And really, today is about, as we get into the service a little later on, about thinking about the purpose God has for our lives in this upcoming year, if the Lord should tarry. So, New Year's, a time of hope and looking forward. Also a time, we know that New Year's has arrived when every commercial is selling us either exercise equipment or a gym membership or a diet supplement, right? You probably use any one of those three things myself. I was looking at the top resolutions for 2026. They don't change a whole lot from year to year. You could probably guess them, but here they are. Exercising more, eating healthier, saving more money. That's a good one after the expenses of Christmas, right? Losing weight, improving mental health, spending more time with family. As we think about resolutions, though, that idea, that concept is often met with mixed opinion, right? There's some people who approach the new year with great optimism. They're eager to set these ambitious goals. Others see resolutions as an exercise in futility. Right, we're bound for failure. This pathway to disappointment before January is ever over. Then there are those who dismiss them altogether. Right, resolutions are pointless. They're a cultural trend. In the end, it depends what you mean by resolutions. It's real important for us, and thus a theology of resolution is our title for our message today. If we mean declarations of what we intend to do this year based on our own willpower, then forget about it, right? We're all doomed for failure if we're trusting in ourselves, if we're setting self-centered goals for the upcoming year. I appreciated John Piper's perspective based on resolutions of our own willpower. He writes, "If it fails, it fails. And if it succeeds, it fails, because that isn't what the Christian life is. We live our lives in the strength of another. We walk by the Spirit." Before making any resolutions today, we need a why, right? We need a why. Why make resolutions? A why big enough to weather the inevitable temptations and distractions and setbacks that we'll face this year. So if you'll turn with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in your Bibles, and we discover there a theology of resolution, and we're going to look at just verses 11 and 12 this morning, and really these are two of the most important verses in the Bible as it relates to the new year and New Year's resolutions. If you look there with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes this, "To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and may fulfill every resolve for good, and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." The focus of our time together in God's Word today, kind of the overarching theme, is we are called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We're called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And really, that's the why of resolutions. We want our lives to prove the worth of our salvation. Will we walk in a worthy manner in 2026? What evidence will there be in our lives that we have been called by God? I was never the New Year's resolution type, if I'm honest, until a couple of years ago I ran across a list of 10 questions for a new year. That list is inserted in your bulletin this morning. You might remember these questions from a couple of years ago. The source is Don Whitney. Don Whitney is chair of pastoral ministry at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We actually referenced one of his books not too long ago, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. That's actually how we started the new year last year. We'll take a look at these 10 questions today. I understand that there's no biblical significance to January 1 like there is December 25th. But I really do believe that there is something to this New Year's resolution thing when our New Year's resolutions are Christ-centered, when they are gospel-centered. I hope you're convinced after I finish reading down through the list. If you'll take out your insert, and I'm going to break down this passage in just a moment, but if you'll take out your insert, 10 questions for a new year, I'd just like to read down through them. They're deep and insightful and challenging questions. Question one, what's one thing you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Two, what's an impossible prayer you can pray? Amy was looking back at her list from 2 years ago, and we saw that God answered her impossible prayer, which is neat to go back and see how God has moved and worked. Three, what's the most important thing you could do to improve your family life? Four, in which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year? Five, what's the single biggest time waster in your life? How can you redeem the time? Flip over the page. The first question there, question six, what's the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? For whose salvation will you pray most fervently for this year? What's the most important way by God's grace you will try to make this year different from last? Question nine, what one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? And finally, what single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years and in eternity? Great list of questions. He actually has more questions. He's got 10 more, and then he's got 21 more on top of that. But I decided to stick with the original 10 from a couple of years ago. So I hope that those questions show you there is something to looking forward to making goals, to making new fresh commitments to the Lord in a new year. I want to divide our time this morning into four parts. So under each one of these main points, they're in your outline, in your bulletin. Under each main point, I'd like to share some thoughts. I'm going to break down scripture under the first point. Then one of the pastors is going to come and lead us in corporate prayer. And then we want to give you time individually, just to go before the Lord. And as you'll see each section unfold, a time to give thanks, a time to praise God for the things that He's done over the past year, a time to confess sin and forsake sin, a time to reflect and think about the different aspects of our lives, our family life and our work life, our community and church life. We want to give you time and then an opportunity for you to commit yourself afresh to pursuing the Lord's will for you this year. So I encourage you to use your bulletin this morning. Later on, we'll pull out this list of 10 questions in the service and just jot down some thoughts, jot down what the Lord's putting on your heart, jot down some prayers as we move through the service. So let's begin with, first of all, a time to reflect. And here's where I want to unpack those two verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And immediately in verse 11, we see the primacy of prayer, the importance of prayer, which is why we're going to dedicate a good portion of the service both to corporate prayer and to individual prayer. Verse 11 says, the first part, to this end we always pray for you. And what is Paul's prayer? The verse continues, that God may make you worthy of His calling. We ran across that word worthy several times in the book of Romans. And if you recall, that word refers to the effectual call of God, a summons of God, God summoning a person into relationship with Himself, a summons that brings that person to salvation. You don't earn this calling, and nor do you deserve it. Rather, it's received by grace through faith in Christ, based solely on the merits of Christ alone. Let me repeat the why of resolutions. We want our lives to prove the worth of our calling. Right? So, salvation is by grace alone. Right? We preach that. That's the gospel. We preach that here. But God's grace is also transformative. Right? It changes us. It renews us. It produces a life that matches the gospel. It's interesting. The word axiom in English comes from the Greek word for worthy here. Means to be of equal weight. The idea behind that is a balancing of scales. In other words, your practice ought to match your profession. If you profess to know Christ, then your life ought to reflect that. You ought to live in a certain way. And Paul continues here, that God may fulfill every resolve for good. Right? We ought to be purposeful. We ought to be determined as Christians in the way we live. We don't want to waste a second of the time that God has graciously given us on this earth. Time is fleeting. Life is a vapor. We just sang about it, right, in that last song. We want to live our lives to the fullest, to the glory of God before He returns. So, note the next phrase here as well. Every work of faith by His power. Right? We pursue good resolves by faith, but please don't miss this. This is that personal willpower thing. Don't miss this. Who is it that fulfills these resolves? It's God, right? Who is it that empowers us to walk worthy? It's God. Who produces lasting change in our lives? Again, it is God. Good resolves begin and end with God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, if anyone serves, right? Anyone uses your gifts, lives with purpose, they should do so with the strength God provides. Right? It's God's power, not our power. What's the ultimate purpose of walking worthy? It's right here in our verse. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified according to the grace of God. Your life can't prove the worth of your salvation apart from grace. Right? The grace of God, the power of God. So I want to just kind of sum up those two verses in a simple statement. Well, maybe slightly complex, but fairly simple. Okay? Gospel-centered goals, bathed in prayer, pursued by faith and empowered by God, help us to fulfill our purpose, which is what? To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me say that one more time. Gospel-centered goals, bathed in prayer, pursued by faith and empowered by God, help us to fulfill our purpose, which is to glorify Christ. Please allow me to lead you and join your hearts with me in a corporate prayer. I'm going to lead the first and last one. A couple of our other pastors will come up and lead us under the different points. But if you'll join your hearts with me in our first corporate prayer today. Father, we do believe that Your Word is breathed out by You, that it is perfect truth, and therefore it's profitable for us, profitable to make us complete, mature, profitable for every good work. God, we thank You for Your inspired, inerrant Word today. And Father, we ask that You would bless the reading, bless the preaching of Your Word. God, help it not to return void. Help it to go forth and to accomplish the purpose that You have in each heart today. And Father, we pray this in the name of Your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Hope I've convinced you that resolutions are biblical from 2 Thessalonians 1. But before we make any, there's a couple other portions of our service that are incredibly important for us. We also need a time to repent. We need to take some time for repentance this morning. Sin in our lives will cause us to do what? Focus on ourselves. So if we've got sin in our hearts, the goals that we write down, the commitments we make are going to be self-centered and again, doomed for failure. They won't be gospel centered goal. Psalm 32, David shared his experience of sin's destructive power in his life. I think the words will resonate with you because we've all been there at some point in our lives. Maybe we're there today. David says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." God, as a loving Father, disciplines us. Just as we discipline our children, we discipline our sons, as the author of Hebrews says. But why does He do that? It's because He loves us deeply. He cares about us. He wants to be in that close, personal fellowship with us. That's what He's doing for David. This heavy hand on David was the grace of God drawing David back into fellowship with Him. And David continues, he says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." In Psalm 51, really a sister psalm to Psalm 32, David goes on to speak of the joy of forgiveness, the joy of renewed purpose in life after confessing and forsaking this sin of adultery with Bathsheba. He writes this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." And then listen, here's his purpose in life. Here's his commitment. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." What does true repentance look like this morning? It involves a heartfelt conviction of sin. And maybe you're feeling that right now, even as I read through the Psalms. A heartfelt conviction of sin. A sorrow over offending a God who is absolutely holy. And then it also involves a turning away from the sinful life. Stay next to this microphone. Turning away from the sinful life and then turning toward the Lord Jesus and to that God-honoring way of life. It's because of Jesus' work, of course, on the cross that we can claim a very important promise in the Scriptures. 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Man, that's a promise we need each and every day. It's a promise we can claim this morning. So I'm going to ask Pastor Ricky if he would make his way up here. He's going to lead us in a corporate prayer of repentance this morning. And then following that prayer, I want to give all of you and myself, all of us individually, privately before the Lord, about 5 minutes just to go before the throne of grace, to confess our sins, allow the Spirit of God to search us, just commit ourselves afresh to forsaking those sins in 2026. Anything that might hinder us from making these good resolves this morning. Pastor Ricky, thank you.
Let us go to the Lord in a prayer of repentance. God, we just come to you today as we start this year and we have a chance to slow down and look to you, God, and we recognize today that, God, individually, I myself, as a church, God, and as a nation, we have sinned greatly against you, God, and we don't want to cover this up. God, we ask not to hide it, and God, we just confess it before you today that we just confess our sin, God, and not live with it, but turn from it, God, and start afresh. We know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, God, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that from your word. And we recognize today that there are many ways we all, including myself, fall short, God. We get distracted by other things. We focus on the wrong things. God, we hold sins of anger or greed or lust or jealousy or gossip. God, we could keep naming our sins against you, God, but we just ask today, God, that we could slow down and come before you. God, we lay it all out there and we ask for forgiveness. God, and we ask your Holy Spirit to help us, to enable us to live this out in our life, God, each and every day as we try to live best we can for you, God. We thank you that where we sin, where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. And God, we just ask you to search our hearts and know our hearts, know our thoughts. God, if there's any grievous way in us, God, would you just lead us in the way that is everlasting? God, we ask these things in your name. God, we ask that we would live righteously before you, that we would rid ourselves of these sins. And we just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We want to move on to another time. And, of course, the throne of grace is always open for us to go there. It's easy to rush on into the new year, and we've asked for things, and we've seen the Lord's blessing, we've seen the Lord move, but we fail to give Him thanks, we fail to recognize it. So I want to take some time to remember now. The lyrics of the hymn writer Thomas Chisholm are quite insightful. You all are familiar with this hymn. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. You look at creation and we see the constancy of creation, and really it's a signpost to the faithfulness of God. I love Lamentations 3, which says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. The proper response this morning to the past year is not, man, I'm glad that's over. Though that may be on your heart this morning. Maybe it was a difficult year. Maybe you've been through some difficult things. But it's not, I'm glad it's over. It's not, God, look at everything I did in 2025. No, it's, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. You are faithful. And Paul encouraged the church in this way, 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. How did God prove Himself faithful to you in 2025? Well, let's take some time to remember, okay? Let's take some time to give thanks. Before we look forward, let's look back and be grateful today. I've asked Pastor James if he would come. He's going to lead us in a corporate prayer of thanksgiving. And then, same as we did with repentance, we want to give you several minutes just to, and I encourage you, jot down some ideas. You might not have wanted to list your sins there under number two with the person next to you sitting there. I get that. But man, a time to remember, so many things to be thankful for. Take some notes in your bulletin, and we'll give you time to count them, write them down, and then give God the glory, give God the praise for that. Pastor James.
Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, as Psalm 145 reminds us, Lord, every day we bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Lord, you are so good to us. We have so many reasons to bless your name and to praise you. Lord, thank you for being awake and alive, Lord. We've never seen today. We've never seen this year. We look forward to it with great anticipation, knowing that you are with us and that you go before us, that you are there to ahead of time, Lord, to help us fight the battles that we will face. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us and that you will this upcoming year. But Lord, we just want to stop and remember your greatness to us. Lord, thank you for our family. Lord, thank you for our church family. Lord, thank you for the friends. We thank you for our jobs, for the food, for all the ways you provide for us, Lord, the heat in the winter and the cool in the summer that you give us, Lord. We thank you so much for that. We thank you for all of our missionaries who are out around the world sharing the gospel, making your name known. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, how you've grown us and made us more into made us more like Jesus Christ and grown us into His image. Lord, one generation shall commend your works to another and declare your mighty acts. We want to stop and do that this morning. We want to declare your mighty acts, all you've done for us in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you have done and what you will do this coming year. Lord, we want to just stop and meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and who you are and what you've done in our lives. And we praise you and we thank you for that this morning. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We needed like an hour for that segment, I know. Then how would you get to your favorite restaurant today, right? Just teasing. move to our final portion of the service. I hope your heart's prepared after just going before the Lord, repenting of your sins, and then remembering, giving thanks and praise to God. Final portion is a time to refocus. And I want to read 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12 one more time. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. A new year provides an opportunity for us just to kind of commit ourselves afresh to the Lord, to evaluate our goals and commitments. I do want to share a word of caution before we jump in. We don't make commitments to prove ourselves to God, right? It's nothing to prove. Jesus did it all. We're justified freely by His grace. We don't make these resolutions or goals or commitments to prove ourselves to others, even to prove ourselves to ourselves. We make commitments for the glory of Jesus Christ, to live a determined life for Him. New Year's resolutions, you know this from your experience in life, they're easy to make, they're really difficult to keep, right? And really impossible for us to keep apart from the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, the Holy Spirit who empowers us. We live in the strength of another. And as we walk by the Spirit, as we're filled by the Spirit, He's the one who produces His good fruit in our lives. So I want to lead us in our final corporate prayer today. Well, I'll close this service at the end with prayer. But for this segment, a corporate prayer of commitment for us all. Father, in Your Word You've said that the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But God, we know that apart from You and Your Son, we can do absolutely nothing. Holy Spirit, we want to give You praise this morning. We want to thank You for taking up residence within us. We want to thank You for filling us, for renewing us, for giving us life and dwelling and sealing us until the day of redemption. Holy Spirit, all those good works You do in our hearts, I pray that You'd fill us afresh in these moments, that we would surrender our hearts to Your control. And I pray that You'd produce Your good fruit in our lives. Lord, we do trust You. God, we don't lean on our own understanding in all our ways this morning. We acknowledge You and we ask that You would make our paths straight, God, that You would direct us, that You would guide us over these next few minutes. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We want to give you time to kind of prayerfully work through these questions, these 10 questions, just to jot down your thoughts. We'll give you about 15 minutes to do that. As you do that, kind of commit yourself through prayer to the Lord for each one of these 10 questions. I hope this is a help to you. I hope it's a help to all of us as we look to the new year. So let's take that time now. Called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. I hope this time, these four different times, have been helpful to you and will be helpful to you in the new year. I encourage you, some of you aren't finished. We know those ones who like to write and write and write some more. Some of you are done in like 2 minutes and you're twiddling your thumbs, but some of you like to write. So I encourage you, take that home with you, work on it this afternoon, reflect some more and add some more. And then I encourage you also keep it maybe in your Bible, keep it somewhere where you can reflect on it as time goes by throughout the year. I'll close with our closing statement. If you're a note taker, you can fill out the last one. May God fulfill every resolve. We might say, may God fulfill every good resolve. That is Christ-centered, gospel-centered resolve in our lives. I want to close by praying, and we got a song too, right? I want to close, though, this portion of the service by praying together, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So if you'll join your hearts with me. Now, Father, to this end we pray. We ask that You would make us worthy of Your calling. God, we ask that You would fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by Your power. God, most of all, the last part there, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified. God, that You may get the glory according to Your great grace in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand for a closing song of commitment to the Lord this morning?